DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Later on in today's program, I'm going to do something that I do not enjoy doing. I'm going to have to admit that I may have been wrong about something, and many of you have convinced me that I was. We'll do that coming up in just a couple of minutes. We'll also get Jeff Sintel on today's program as well. Great day to have him on to kind of put a ribbon and a bow, so to speak, on the early signing period, what Georgia has got done, what Georgia still needs to do. Jeff Sintel will help us kind of fill in a lot of the gaps there with that coming up in just a few minutes. It's good to have you with us here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. Let me begin, though, with this. One of my favorite things about Kirby Smart are those little subtle, almost nothing seems to be accidental messages that he seems to send from time to time, where the words kind of mean one thing, but they also kind of mean something else, too. Let me give you an example of that. Georgia signed a running back for its 2019 class, one of the top 10 running backs in the country, Kenny McIntosh. But for a lot of Georgia fans, there was attention paid to who Georgia didn't get. Georgia didn't get, for instance, John Emery Jr., a one-time UGA commit, five-star from Destrehan, Louisiana. He ends up with his home state school there at LSU. Georgia seemingly went down to the wire with five-star running back Trey Sanders. Dog Nation was on the hand at Port St. Joe, Florida, on Wednesday, when Sanders chose live Alabama over UGA. In some respects, Georgia fans were paying more attention to the backs that Georgia didn't get than the back that Georgia did get in Kenny McIntosh. Although, as you're about to hear from Kirby Smart in just a moment, there is a lot to like about Kenny McIntosh. But here's what's also interesting about what Kirby Smart has to say. In addition to praising McIntosh and talking about the fact that McIntosh bring something into the fold that Georgia did not necessarily have before he arrives on campus, Kirby Smart also starts sending out those clarion calls that running back recruiting at Georgia never slows down. Running back recruiting at Georgia is still very much open for business. And there's a bit of a message here for some 2020 running backs to maybe be paying attention to. Here is Kirby Smart praising the back that Georgia did sign and also at least alluding to what Georgia might do in the future there as well. If you're a Dog fan, you're going to like this. Here's Kirby Smart.
Kenny gives us something we don't have. You know, we've thought all year we needed a 225. I mean, we felt like we were missing that. And, you know, running back is a unique position, guys. Look at what DeAndre Swift did as a freshman. Look at what Nick Chubb did as a freshman. Look at what Sony and Gurley, all these guys. You can go out and sign really good players. And we know we've got the possibility of having three guys leave next year if Holyfield stays. So we're going to have an opportunity to go out and sign the best backs in the country next year. We've got a lot of backs coming back in our program, and we've got good young backs. And we think Kenny gives us something. I mean, Kenny's going to be a 220-pound guy that's a bruiser and very athletic out of the backfield. We're excited about what he can do.
Now, did you follow all that? Because there were a couple different messages there. On the one hand, he's 100% right about Kenny McIntosh. If you look at where Georgia was really deficient offensively this season, essentially the only area in which Georgia had any offensive deficiencies whatsoever was down near the goal line, where a big, bruising, 225-pound style running back like Kenny McIntosh certainly could have helped out with Georgia this season. And having a guy like that in a role like that moving forward for Georgia is probably a really good thing. So there is a lot to like about Kenny McIntosh, and Kirby Smart made sure he enunciated that there, and I think that's an important thing to do. But in addition to that, Kirby Smart also said, hey, y'all, take a look at this. We could have as many as three running backs leaving our roster after the 2019 season. That's obviously assuming that Elijah Holyfield doesn't make his decision to move on to the NFL. We're going to have a lot of space at running back next season, so elite 2020 running backs. He mentions Todd Gurley. He mentions Nick Chubb. He mentions Sony Michel. If you want to be the next Chubb, the next Michel, the next Gurley, Georgia's going to be open for business next year, and there are going to be a lot of roster spots to go around at the running back position. That's a very interesting cryptic phrase from Kirby Smart. It's kind of funny that on his signing day press conference of 2019, he's already making a pitch, at least through the media, for a 2020 running backs as well. And you know what? Some elite running backs may have noticed this. I think if you're going to make a list of those 2020 prospects to be paying the most attention to for the future, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find any two running backs better than Zachary Evans from out of Texas and Kendall Milton out of California for the 2020 recruiting cycle. These are the big names to know. These are the names that are going to be lighting up message boards, including our forum at forum.dognation.com for really the next year. And you know what? Milton and Evans have apparently noticed a little bit about, and then, by the way, you see Kendall Milton on your screen right now if you're watching on video, but Milton and Evans have already noticed a little bit about what what's going on at Georgia. Let me show you what I found to be some very interesting Twitter activity. So a fan, and I'm assuming this is just a regular old Georgia fan, tweets out a picture of Nick Chubb and Sony Michel. You know, one of those great images of those two good friends standing side by side with each other. And he tags both Evans and Milton in it. And you know what? He got kind of an interesting response. The Twitter account is at dog331. I'm assuming this is just like a regular old Georgia fan here. Michelle and Chubb, and then it's tagged to Kendall Milton and Zachary Evans. Then there's the thinking emoji going next to that. Well, guess what? Kendall Milton retweets this picture of Chubb and Michelle. This is just what I guess yesterday. Retweets the picture of Chubb and Michelle with the double eyeball emojis, essentially saying, "Hey, look at that. I am noticing the chance to come and follow in the footsteps maybe of Nick Chubb and Sony Michelle." But to truly be Chubb and Michelle, you got to have more than just Kendall Milton. You got to have a partner there as well. You got to have a Robin to the Batman, or you know, whatever duo you want to kind of, you know, bring to mind here. And that's where Zachary Evans comes into the fold. Evans tweets back at Kendall Milton saying, "Could have swore we talked about this." So apparently, two of the top running backs, probably the two top running backs for the 2020 recruiting cycle, apparently according to the activity on Twitter here, have been having a conversation about the fact that, yeah, it would be kind of fun, maybe kind of interesting to follow in the footsteps of Nick Chubb and Sony Michel, and maybe for the 2020 class be that great tandem of running backs, the way that Georgia seems to collect those over the years. And we also know, based on Dog Nation's reporting, including our own Jeff Sintel, our Dog Nation recruiting insider, that Kendall Milton's interest, the elite 2020 running back, Kendall Milton's interest in Georgia is not something that just popped up on social media this week. It's been there for a long time. Go back to a couple of months ago. Jeff had a chance to speak to Kendall Milton, and Milton made it very clear that, yes, he does have strong UGA interest, despite the fact that he lives all the way out. I believe it's near Fresno in California. He lives all the way out there in California. He's still got very strong interest in UGA. Here's Kendall Milton on that.
I think Georgia has a major shot in being able to get me to go to their program. I love the whole school. I love Coach Smart. I love Coach McGee. I love Coach Williams. They're all great people, great guys, great coaches. And, you know, I can see myself playing at the next level. They produce lots of running backs for the NFL, like they produced two last year. And it'd be great to be able to pick up where they left off and be able to get something going.
So sometimes Twitter can be a false positive, and I'm not going to tell you that Milton's tweet means he's going to commit to Georgia, but when he gives you those double eyeball emojis about seeing Chubb and Michelle and the picture of them, his own words also back up that, yes, in real life, not just on social media, he is eyeballing what Chubb and Michelle have done at Georgia, and now what Chubb's doing for the Cleveland Browns and what Sony Michelle has done, a little bit of an injury marred rookie season there with the Patriots. Certainly Kendall Milton is noticing all of that. And he mentions a couple of the key names here when it comes to this kind of stuff. And obviously, as Georgia fans know, whether it be winning with Kenny McIntosh a couple of days ago or winning in the future, there's no one that weighs heavier on these kinds of things than Georgia running backs coach Dell McGee. And obviously, Milton, as you might imagine, already has a great relationship with McGee. Here is what Kendall said about Dell.
Talking to Coach McGee, it doesn't feel like you're just talking to a coach. It feels like you're talking to a friend or somebody that you can like actually like open up to, talk to. He has kind of like a housewarming feel when you talk to him. So that's one thing that separates him from, you know, all the other coaches.
So already seeing, and this is a couple of months ago, by the way, to Jeff Sintel at Dog Nation, already seeing a little bit of separation in terms of the way that Dell McGee can establish those relationships and Dell McGee can kind of carve out a recruiting niche compared to the other recruiters who are already reaching out to Kendall Milton. And it's not just McGee that Milton feels that way about. He also had some complimentary things to say about Kirby Smart as well.
Just seeing his history, seeing his past, he seems like a great guy. Seems like with his coaching record, he seems like he knows what he's doing. He has a strong reputation for winning, getting his team to those big games. And everybody wants to be able to get to that, the national championship. And I feel like he's a coach that can bring his team to that. So that's a big thing.
So let me be very clear about this. I like Kenny McIntosh, the running back that Georgia signed for its 2019 class, but I believe that Georgia wanted another back in addition to McIntosh, and I believe it wanted a truly elite five-star, something in the neighborhood of a John Emery Jr. or Trey Sanders. Admittedly, Georgia did not get that for this cycle, but I think while that puts additional pressure on Georgia to do that in 2020. I think it also opens up a possibility that it's more likely that Georgia lands as an Evans or a Milton, or as they seem to be saying on Twitter, maybe the possibility of both. This is one of those stories that's going to be really fun to watch here coming up very soon. Let me transition here, kind of shifting gears without a clutch, and talk about a different position, but also some interesting social media activity over the last 24 hours. Five-star defensive lineman Aubrey Solomon, who we talked about on yesterday's show, and a little bit here and there, I guess probably some other times this week, and a bunch a couple of years ago. Solomon, as you know, is deciding that he wants to transfer from Michigan, much the same way Georgia quarterback Justin Fields is in the so-called transfer portal. That's where Aubrey Solomon is right now as well. And Solomon may actually be working his way out of the transfer portal sooner rather than later. You know, that's always a good news when you get into the portal that you actually get back out of the portal. Maybe Solomon's got a chance to do that, because on his Instagram story here in the last day or so, he is also teased at the possibility of an announcement. I think we got the image here. I want to put it on the screen of Aubrey Solomon on Instagram saying, "It's about that time." Now, obviously, we don't know. There's no deadline for an announcement there on that from Aubrey Solomon. But he does tease this within the last day that he is about to make some kind of announcement. So when it comes to the five-star defensive lineman, Aubrey Solomon, a guy that I believe that Georgia does very much want, and the reason why I believe that is because I know how hard Georgia recruited him going back to the 2017 recruiting cycle. We gave you some examples yesterday of recruiting experts that think that Solomon is a truly elite defensive lineman. Kirby Smart said on Wednesday as well, in another one of those kind of cryptic-style messages of, boy, we really got to have defensive linemen in this program. That's a priority for us in this class. I sort of think that may have been a wink nod gesture towards Solomon's direction as well. When Jeff Sintel joins us in a couple of moments, we'll find out Jeff's perspective on what Georgia may be doing to land Solomon, and how likely that message is to kind of land with a positive reception from Solomon on that. The overall bottom line of the entire discussion, though, if you want to kind of sum all this up, not only does recruiting not end even after the early signing day on Wednesday, it really doesn't even slow down. Georgia's got some major spots to still fill with its 2019 class from the high school ranks, could be looking to take a transfer as well, and Kirby Smart, I believe, is already planting those seeds with the five-star variety of prospects for 2020 as well. That's one of the reasons why Dog fans love this program, I mean the University of Georgia program, and hopefully Dog Nation Daily as well, as we try to cover all of this, because it sounds like when it comes to UJ recruiting, the fun is only just beginning. All right, my name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Hello to you. Thank you for being with us. Live on video today, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. We are not on the radio today. We are exempted and preempted, I guess is the right word, preempted by Joni Taylor's Lady Dogs basketball team. So good luck to the Lady Dogs. We'll look forward to being back on the radio again next week on 960 The Rep. We are available in podcast form, including the world-famous DogNation.com. And I know some of you were saying, well, where was the show on Dog Nation? We'll get the make sure the podcast is posted there at the world-famous DogNation.com, so you can get the week's worth of shows there. That is coming up. Check that out at the world-famous DogNation.com. We really appreciate you being with us. By the way, coming up in just a moment as well, we're going to have an update on our schedule for the for next week here too, coming up in just a moment. We will do all of that. If you're watching on video, we are coming up on Jeff Sintel here as well. Jeff's going to be a little later joining us than normal. He had some business he had to take care of in the recruiting trail before he gets to us. So Jeff is still coming up, but he's coming up in a couple of minutes here today, live on video, and of course in the podcast form there as well. There is some business to take care of before we get to that. And before I tell you about that, let me also remind you that Primo is always on the menu at Marco's Pizza. As you know, Marco's Pizza brings Dog Nation Daily to each and every day. It's dough made fresh. It's a sauce from the original Giammarco family recipe. And it's three signature cheeses blended together on top of every pizza. You can check yours out and order yours today by going to Marcos.com. So say hello, Primo, to that this weekend, and I know that you'll be glad that you did. So off the top of the program, one of the things that I said is that I do not enjoy having to say that I was wrong, especially when I feel like other people are the ones that have had to convince me on that. But in retrospect here, I think I may have been wrong about something. And I'm going to sort of lay this out for a couple of minutes, especially for those people who don't get a chance to watch on video every day. So when the regular broadcast ends, we do a question and comment period on video. It's really the most fun thing I do all day long. I love hearing people's response to the things that I've been saying. I love being challenged by other perspectives, other thought processes. I think that's all really fun. And one of the things that many of you also like as well is our buddy Connor Riley, who helps us kind of behind the scenes here. He's one of our producers. You also read him a lot at dognation.com. He'll kind of chime in from time to time on some thoughts that he had. And yesterday, we were kind of all going around the table giving our grades for the various position groups in terms of how Georgia had handled things for its early signing period. We gave each position group a grade in terms of where things stood after Wednesday and in terms of the overall total class. And my overall total class grade was a B+. And I got a lot of criticism for that. And I guess I've done some reflecting since then. And I guess it probably is wrong not to give the class like an A grade. Connor Riley shaking his head. No, he feels like I'm being coerced by the audience here. But I have thought about this a lot. And let me tell you why I've upgraded my grade for the recruiting class from B+ to A over the course of the last 24 hours or so. First of all, if you don't give Georgia an A, then you're only giving one school in the country an A for early signing period. That's Alabama. Is it really only fair to give one school an A? And ultimately, the way that I judge the recruiting class, and they're all laughing at me over there, but all of our producer friends, the way that I judge the recruiting class is, does it give Georgia a chance to beat the team that needs to beat Alabama? Because if you beat Alabama, you're the best team in the country. You know, Georgia's not competing against 129 teams. It's competing against one. Clemson doesn't recruit at the same level as Georgia right now. Ohio State doesn't recruit at the same level as Georgia right now. The other SEC programs that seemingly are closed are still kind of facing a bit of a statistical gap. I mean, Texas A&M and LSU. Right now, this is Georgia versus Alabama more so than it's ever been before. And if you look at some of the numbers that are coming in, I'm going to write about this today at dognation.com. That's kind of the genesis of all of this. If you look at the numbers that are coming in, you can certainly make a pretty strong case that Georgia is doing what it needs to do to make it a fair fight, if not take a slight advantage eventually over Alabama in the talent department. Let me give you an example of that. Chris Lowe from ESPN, a really good writer, was citing some ESPN recruiting stats. Now, I know that for most of us who follow recruiting closely, of the major services that try to rate this stuff, I think most of us view ESPN as inferior to all the rest, but still, these numbers for the most part kind of work. Let me show you the tweet from Chris Lowe, who was talking about the overall numbers over the last 3 years. Chris Lowe's tweet, and this is from yesterday, he says, ESPN 300, that's sort of like the ESPN bootleg version of the top 24/7 from 24/7 Sports or something like that. The ESPN 300 signees by SEC teams over the last 3 years. And Lowe specifies this won't include players that are going to sign come February. So for Georgia, this doesn't include John Rhys Plumlee or, you know, any of the guys that could come in, Tyreek Stevenson included. Up to this point, over the last 3 years, Alabama has signed 53 ESPN 300 players. Georgia is one spot below that at 52. In the SEC, the next closest is LSU at 34, then you get to Florida at 29. So as it stands right now, Georgia is indeed recruiting at an elite level. Now, unfortunately, it's only doing enough to make it a fair fight, an even match from a talent standpoint with Alabama. But it is doing its part. So when you look at the overall Georgia signing class for this December, you also have to factor in the number one class last year that dusted Alabama's and the 2017 number three class for Georgia, which did eclipse 300 points on 24/7 Sports. And you have to say that right now, even with Georgia not getting everybody it wanted on early signing day of 2019, it is still recruiting at an A level. And I would suggest that with Tyreek Stevenson still on the board, the potential of Doug Nestor still on the board, and we talked about that yesterday with Jeremy Birmingham, and some of these other names are still out there, an A could become an A+ before it's all said and done as well. All right, we'll get Jeff Sintel here in just a minute. Let's do our Kroger checklist, though, and get an update on some of the things happening around Dog Nation, both within the in the world of UGA athletics and within our world here around Dog Nation Daily. It's our Kroger checklist. Let me start with this. Tomorrow, don't forget at noon, you've got UGA basketball against Georgia Tech at McCamish Pavilion. So it's a pretty important game for Tom Crean's team. They're at McCamish against Georgia Tech. The honest truth is, I have no idea who's favored in this game. Is Georgia, who's the favorite between Georgia and Georgia Tech? We need to look that up and see. But this is an important game for Georgia because, you know, it gave away the game against Arizona State that it probably should have won. Got a better than you realize win against Texas Southern, whoever that team that played was before that. Kind of took care of its business against Oakland the other day. But an in-state game here against Georgia Tech would be a pretty interesting win for Tom Crean's team to get. We'll see if they're able to do that. Also, as a part of our Kroger checklist, let me also give you a couple of updates about what's going to happen around Dog Nation Daily here as well. This is our last day to be on video for a few days. We're going to be off video the next 3 days to start next week. That's December 24th through the 26th. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and the day after Christmas, we are going to take some time off of video to let our staff have some time to relax and be with family and friends and enjoy this Christmas season. We are back live, though, at 10 a.m., like always, on video on Thursday, December 27th, so make your plans to join us there for that. We will see you Thursday, December 27th, back live at 10 a.m. Now, for those of you that normally watch on video, I will let you know we will have a podcast. We're going to have a podcast for all three of those days. We're going to do one holiday special podcast, and that's going to be posted at all the places the podcasts get posted. So if you normally watch on video, we'd love to have you check out an extra bonus holiday show that we're going to put out there for the podcast audience. Some of those of you that are our normal podcast listeners, we appreciate you obviously being out there for us, and so we'll look forward to seeing you there for that. Okay, so beyond that, believe it or not, when we get back next week with our regular shows on Thursday and Friday, then we roll right into the following week, which is live from New Orleans. We're going to be there starting Sunday with special coverage of the Sugar Bowl. That means Dog Nation Daily live from New Orleans at probably a little bit different time. It'll be a little bit of a different holiday schedule, you know, given the media availability and stuff around the Sugar Bowl. But Sunday, December 30th, Monday, December 31st, game day on January 1st, and the following day, we're going to be in New Orleans doing a lot of Sugar Bowl coverage. So it's about to be a very busy time here on Dog Nation Daily, and we're really looking forward to doing a lot of that kind of stuff with all of you. So enjoy some Christmas time at the beginning of next week. We'll have regular shows Thursday and Friday, and then immediately rolling right into New Orleans for a really, really fun countdown and build up to the Sugar Bowl there as we cover everything happening around the program, and that is going to be a really interesting thing to see. All right, we've got a lot more to come on our program today, including by the way, if you enjoyed yesterday's look at the Missouri commit who did the Quay Walker hat toss, he's actually back at it again today with more trolling on Tennessee. We'll tell you about this coming up in just a moment. But before that, as promised, we're going to get Jeff Sintel here coming up in just a moment. It's great to have you with us here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. Hope you enjoy Jeff Sintel right now.
Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
We had a commenter a moment ago that said, boy, I'm really glad that Jeff Sintel is going to be on this show today, and I'm really glad to have Jeff Sintel on the program as well. It's a nice way to recap everything that's happened thus far with the early signing period and also to get a bit of a look at where Georgia might go next. Jeff, thanks for being with us. Hope you're doing okay today.
Hey, guys, hey, happy holidays, everybody. And Brandon, I'm sorry I made you go to an audible, sir, but it sounds like you're handling it like you're handling Rodgers or...
Yeah, we are. Everything is rolling on. We're doing great and having a great time about that. And I kind of want to get some recap from you, if you don't mind, before we kind of get into some of the other names for the recruiting cycle here. And that is you spent some time with N'Kobe Dean on Wednesday. We all watched your video. I thought that was a really fascinating look at Dean on the day that he makes his Georgia choice. He was good enough to spend some time with you on video for a very wide-ranging conversation. But in a situation like that, there's always kind of a behind-the-scenes story as well. What was going on there at Horn Lake High School? You know, what the mood of the family was like. You know, you got a chance to watch all of that firsthand. For those of us that couldn't be in the room with Dean there that day, what was it like around the ceremony right up until the point where Dean chose UGA?
Well, yeah, it was very contested recruitment, let's say. It was funny. There's so many stories we'll probably share regarding N'Kobe Dean in our upcoming Next Generation specials, videos, and on the website, of course. But I thought maybe the most interesting things of the several, we've kind of covered them, I guess, on a few other Dog Nation products and platforms. But maybe the one we haven't hit on really hard yet was how he kept Georgia guessing. And he didn't even, I mean, really saw him with his phone. He was constantly on his phone. Normally, a lot of recruits try to bury the phone and turn it off because they got important decisions to make. Well, N'Kobe, right before the live hit happened, was on his phone and looking down. And when I spoke to him afterward, he said, yeah, that's when I was sending off my letter of intent to Georgia. So that's how closely he kept Georgia kind of off to the side a little bit about what he was going to do. There was always late rumblings there for, like, is it going to be Ole Miss? Did Ole Miss creep into the picture? What about Alabama? It's very telling for me, this is what the family had always told me, that if Georgia and Alabama are even, or close, why drive another 4 hours to get to Athens? And the young man, I think, answered it in the right way. And, you know, let's not talk about him on the field yet with the linebacker who used to wear number 3. But what I can do is kind of compare his acumen and the way he operates. And he basically chopped it up like this, Brandon, as he said, all right, man, what's the purpose to go to college? The real purpose. Get an education, right? And then he's like, what school offers the best education with the best students with the best overall degree for me? He's like, that's Georgia. That's basically why I chose Georgia.
Really interesting stuff there. And you mentioned both Alabama and Ole Miss, and I love Georgia versus Alabama head-to-head battles, especially when they go the way of UGA. But isn't it probably fair to say that in this instance, it was actually probably Ole Miss that took the silver and Alabama had to settle for bronze?
Well, that depends on who you ask, and this requires a reporter and some suit leather and some, you know, just steno pad work. So you ask Dad, he would say, I think his dad told me that he thought second place was LSU or Alabama. You ask Mom feels that it second place was Alabama. When I asked N'Kobe said it was so close for number one and number two that he said he really couldn't decide who was number two. But my read on that situation is that's just a gentleman's way of answering that question. Not to ostracize or not to have any of those runner-up schools feel like they were slighted in any way.
I just am basing this partially on some of the interview content you were able to bring to us at Dog Nation, where there was a lot of emotion in his voice about Ole Miss. At one point in time, I believe he even told you that he's going to represent the state of Mississippi at UGA. This is a guy that seemed to have a pretty strong gravitational pull to his own state there. Now, I take the dad seriously about LSU and everything else as well. But from N'Kobe's own words and the video that you were able to be a part of capturing, it certainly seemed like he had some emotional ties to Ole Miss, which makes Georgia's recruiting win here all the more impressive in my mind.
Yeah, and I think, you know, some people try to upgrade information they have to make their news and their coverage sound more important. The three things that I think were fundamental to this decision for N'Kobe Dean was also strength staff. Sinclair was a hero for the Bulldogs in this recruitment. The mother, Nikita Dean, felt she vibed along with Scott Sinclair, as well as any strength coach out there. Jonas Jennings, we've said that name before. We're going to say it 1,000 more times. Jonas Jennings and Fernando Velasco, two former Dogs that are now on the player development side of things for the Bulldogs. That guy, it just looms so large. There were times Nikita Dean told me, she said, I just want you to go ahead and take him now. Go ahead and take him now. You can have him. You can finish raising him. A little, you know, some schools would say our player development guys will got your son, we'll take care of him, we'll keep him out of trouble. Everybody should do that. What impressed Nikita Dean, his mother, was that Jonas Jennings and his staff would do little things like track their spending. Not just keep them out of trouble, but keep them doing the right thing. And if those guys noticed some crazy purchases or a kid wearing 3 different pairs of shoes in a week, he'd be like, let me see that account. What are you doing with your money? You've got to establish good credit. You've got to be on your feet. You've got to be an adult. This is the time when you start making adult decisions. And those are things there where Georgia just separated itself along with the relentless recruitment from Dan Lanning. I even wrote in the Kobe Dean's commitment story how Kirby, on his in-home visit, I mean, Kobe Dean's the type of guy that will take a phone call and he'll say, you know, I got to study. I'm sorry, I can't talk. And he would say that to Gus Malzahn, Nick Saban, Kirby Smart. So it's his in-home visit day, Brandon, and Kirby's kind of like, Coach Smart's like, hey, man, I got like 30 minutes. You got any time? And Kobe was like, hey, man, I got to do this physics homework. So Coach Smart, maybe not at a five-star level, tried to help Kobe Dean with his physics, and it ends up where Kobe Dean is actually going through a survey course of advanced placement physics for one Coach Kirby Smart.
Boy, I tell you what, I'd pay $10 to watch Kirby Smart try to do some physics homework. That sounds pretty fascinating stuff right there. Let me do one more thing on Dean. There's a lot of other stuff I need to ask you about. You know, Kirby Smart, when he talked about Dean on Wednesday night, made a point to talk about it, and you referenced a lot of this there as well, as with what Mrs. Dean, Niketa Dean, likes about UGA. Kirby talked about the safe atmosphere, the wholesome environment. It seemed like Kirby Smart really wanted to use those words in describing Dean's connection with Georgia. Was that an intentional message on Kirby's part?
Yeah, because, I mean, I caught during my reporting, sometimes I didn't put it all out there into the universe, but there was a situation where the family didn't feel comfortable on a few things regarding their LSU trip. It wasn't anything the university could control. They just kind of felt that it was not a very closed campus and a really open campus around Baton Rouge. And I think this is the one thing they kept saying a lot, or something that I picked up a lot, was Nicobe's going to handle his football. He's going to handle his grades. I think he's going to be one of the most serious-minded guys in the class. He will require zero de-recruiting. He's just going to do his job. The times he acts like a teenager is if he hears music playing. The dude loves to dance, kind of like Brandon Adams around that company Christmas party. But the thing that Georgia had to do is they're going to say, we can create a bubble around you. We can create peers. We can create academics, we can create support, we can create strength and conditioning, we can create the degree. Everything that a university is supposed to support a student athlete with, that is what Nicobe Dean and his family, that's what they were really looking for.
Really interesting stuff, Jeff, and it was great reporting from Horn Lake this week, and we're glad to have you there. And obviously, Dog fans were loving seeing the good news there on that video and getting a chance to hear from Dean himself. Check out the Dog Nation video channels for more on that. Which brings me to Trey Sanders, and I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but I do got to try to find out the real story here. I think I was right there with a lot of Dog fans in that, you know, you couldn't really sleep great on Wednesday night until you knew that that letter of intent from Sanders was really received by Alabama and that recruitment was really done, especially given how close it seemed to be before Sanders made the announcement for Alabama. And I told a lot of people privately here for a while I was worried about Sanders trolling UGA. I'm not quite so sure the announcement itself wasn't all a setup to troll UGA. But behind the scenes, was this just a paperwork snafu for why the letter of intent was received by Alabama so late, or was there an 11th-hour push to get him not to go to the Crimson Tide?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. You know, our reporter on the ground, Michael Carvell, said that if there was a number two, it would be Florida State. And he kind of felt that had this been the 2020 cycle and Taggart had one more year of offensive linemen and players in his program, that the decision, at least according to the spin that came out of the Sanders camp, was that FSU would have been the move if he was a 2020 recruit. My feeling on this is things change, and they always do. And I think a lot of that had to do with whether or not Georgia's depth chart was still going to be as appealing in terms of, excuse me, guys like Elijah Holyfield and Brian Arian moving on to the league or creating room in that depth chart in that running back room for Georgia. I think that was the factor why Trey Sanders got heavy into the mix with Georgia after that official visit. And I think that was a contributing factor why he didn't choose the Bulldogs in the end. And I know my boy Brandon, he loves the five stars. He loves the number one every year. But I would say, and I'd love the audience to weigh in on this, would they rather have one more year of Elijah Holyfield, a proven back, or would they rather have the glue, the glamour of Trey Sanders coming around? And remember, somebody's got to find a way to get that beast, Zamir White, a lot of carries next year as well in that backfield.
Yeah, I think that's really well said, Jeff. Obviously, Georgia fans love Elijah Holyfield. And if he does indeed come back, and if that did impact Trey Sanders' decision, then I think the Georgia fans will obviously fully embrace Holyfield there in that regard. And as we said off the top of the program, never too early to start thinking about Kendall Milton and Zachary Evans and everybody else either for the class of 2020. Let's talk about quarterbacks here for a moment. And, you know, you and I talked on Wednesday on some of our video programs about Dwan Mathis, and then it becomes official with Stetson Bennett later on that night. Bennett's obviously a guy that Georgia fans know, the Georgia players love. We had some effusive praise for Bennett from Cameron Nieselek, who was at those practices a year ago as the Georgia punter. So obviously the guys in that program love Bennett. How do you think that Mathis and Bennett coexist together here? Mathis has told Dog Nation that he wants to be a part of a team concept. He doesn't want to cause any trouble. It seems like there'll be some competition here to be the primary backup for Jake Fromm. There's also the, I guess, unresolved issue of John Rhys Plumlee here. What do you make of the current state of UGA quarterbacks? And I guess you also have to factor in the somewhat remote possibility, and assuming that even still exists, that Justin Fields could still return.
Yeah, that's still a variable that needs to be layered into the discussion. But I think right away, given his familiarity, given how well he knows the system, he knows Georgia, the adjustment period of college life in Athens will be zero for Stetson Bennett. He knows what he can do. I think Stetson, to me, looks like the immediate backup for Jake Fromm. And really, I think this creates a clear level of appreciation for Jake Fromm within the fan base, within the program. There's no uncertainty about who's the guy, splitting reps, that sort of thing. I think Dwan Mathis has a chance not to be thrust into anything now, and Dwan Mathis can learn at his own pace. Big players, 6 foot six, lots of skills. The thing that doesn't get said enough in this discussion is Georgia. The thought of Georgia going into spring practice with just one scholarship quarterback, not even the depth situation, but how they could conduct an effective practice to run their twos, to work their twos on defense, to run their scouts with strictly walk-on or preferred walk-on personnel. Not the thing you want to do with a national championship contender. And I think the moves made by Kirby Smart here are risk management insurance in order to make sure the program in Georgia is kept in well-positioned, in a good depth position, regardless of the X factor of Justin Fields. And with John Rhys Plumlee, I think he's a great, popular player. I haven't found anything the young man doesn't do yet at a master level. He should, you know, I'm sure a lot of 17 and 18-year-old kids will sit there and say, sing, play the piano, hit the curveball, run a 4-5, score touchdowns. Probably is going to be a very popular guy. Should he get on campus in lots of facets and walks of life? I think the one thing for there, maybe it's a happy ending with Georgia and John Rhys Plumlee, depending on how many late targets they can sign. But I think the main thing with Plumlee and Georgia and that relationship was he just couldn't enroll early. And that's what Georgia had to have in the class of 2019.
That's really interesting, Jeff. I got a couple other things I want to ask you about. Let me, before that, though, remind you, we told you this yesterday, really cool new novel by a UGA grad, Jeffrey Head. It's called Unholy Intentions. And you talk about a great way to sort of spend some time during the holiday season, curled up next to the fireplace with the Christmas lights on, a little hot toddy sitting there next to you. Don't let me tell you how to take care of your business, but this would be a good time to do a good read. Unholy Intentions sounds like one. It's a novel based in Atlanta. It's about like terrorists and anti-terrorist forces trying to fight against the bad guys, all kind of with that Atlanta backdrop behind it. What a cool book, and it's even cooler that it's written by UGA grad Jeffrey Head. So you can find this on iBooks or Nookbook as a part of Barnes & Noble. It's called Unholy Intentions. It's a novel based in Atlanta with a lot of mystery and suspense and just a lot of fun and action the good guys try to take down the terrorist bad guys. So check out Unholy Intentions.
Intentions. That's the name of the book, Unholy Intentions, either at iBooks, Nookbook, at Barnes & Noble. Support a UGA grad and read a really fun novel. I think that's a great way to spend the holiday season. All right, Jeff, this feels like old times, but I'm going to reboot a conversation that you and I had probably 200 times back in 2017. What's the latest on Aubrey Solomon?
Just got back home on Wednesday, and this is going to be a different recruitment. I've been in contact with his mother, Sabrina Caldwell, and I let that intel leak a little bit on the Dog Nation forum and our message board thread, our live message board thread. But what she told me, her son Aubrey just celebrated his 20th birthday, and she, in her own way, said, he's no longer a teenager. He's going to make this decision. She said she was elated by his decision to come to leave Michigan, come back home, obviously, it sounds like. And she said that decision will be left up to Aubrey Solomon. He's a 20-year-old man, and all she's going to do is she's going to wait for him to tell her what colors to put on and which team to root for. You have to think, Brandon, you have to think. The lure of the Bulldogs, the defensive line spot, Georgia might lose a transfer five-star this year, this week, this month in Justin Fields, but they might gain a five-star defensive line recruit down the line in Aubrey Solomon.
Come on now. That gets you excited right there, that description. Let me do a quick follow-up because I know I'm keeping you long here, but I want to try to clear the board as much as we can when it comes to information. So based on your reporting there, the fact that Aubrey's mom is going to be more hands-off this time, fair to say that's a big difference from the 2017 recruitment when Michigan was ultimately the selection. And, you know, listen, if you're a young high school kid at the time, you want your mom heavily involved. You want her vetting those programs. Safe to say that she was a major influence then. It sounds like she's kind of taking a little bit more of a, I guess, sort of a backseat role here, kind of in a background role here for Solomon this time. So that's kind of interesting. The other thing, Jeff, is from Solomon's own Instagram story, he essentially hinted at a decision dropping soon or something along those lines. Are you buckled up for this happening sooner rather than later, or could this thing drag out for a while?
Yeah, Brandon, I know for you it's been at least 48 hours since a five-star came to Georgia, and your trigger finger is a little itchy. I think the next commitment video we need to do needs to include something with you kicking the presents underneath the Christmas tree for Kroger or Marcos or something like that, because you just can't wait. I'm going to ask you this, my friend. Read between the message board line and read between the tweets. I'm sure you saw the Malik Herring tweet to Aubrey Solomon. I'm going to just think about this for a second. Everybody put your thinking caps on for a second. And why would Mama be elated about her son making a new decision in his past if he's going to go out to California, Miami, Ohio State, Tennessee? I'm just going to leave it at that. Why would Mom be happy about this decision? It seems to think that the home state school has a puncher's chance here with all that.
That is very, very exciting stuff. All right, let me do two quick things before we let you go. You can kind of handle these all together, kind of a catch-all question. Obviously, we've already talked in our show about what's to come next, whether it be Tyreek Stevenson January the 5th or, you know, really anything that could happen and evolve here. I'd love to get some general thoughts from you on those other dominoes that you think are about to fall and just kind of some final thoughts on what Georgia has already gotten done for its 2019 recruiting cycle. The floor is yours for some final thoughts here.
Wow. Open-ended question. So I would say, I mean, Kirby Smart even said it at his press conference, not really any big intel. It is the fact that as a few targets left out there, and Georgia has a few spots it wants to address. Let's go through them. Defensive back, that's obviously Tyreek, the dream chaser Stevenson. That decision will be revealed to the world on January the 5th from the All-American Bowl. Dog Nation will be there. You've got Jaden Hazelwood as the five-star receiver. That decision will also make.
Do we lose Jeff?
Kirby said wide receiver, defensive back. Kirby Smart said, you got me there, Brandon?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, we lost you for a second, but now you're back with us. Yeah, now you're back with us. Kirby Smart said, what about Tyreek Stevenson?
Kirby Smart didn't say anything about
Tyreek Stevenson. Yeah, I know. He can't speak about Stevenson. I'm sorry. But, yeah, finish your thought.
So Kirby Smart said DB wide receiver, offensive lineman. Obviously, the an offensive guard. One's an offensive tackle prospect. The cornerback, Tyreek, the dream chaser, Stevenson. Also, Kaihir, Elam. Those are two South Florida DBs. Those are the DBs that are still out there for Georgia.
Hey, let me Jeff, let me interrupt just for 1 second. I'm sorry to cut you off here, but we did have a pretty good comment on the video earlier. If Georgia gets Stevenson on the fifth, does that make it harder to get Kyrie Elam? Is Elam really looking to go somewhere else if Stevenson chooses Georgia on January the 5th? Because in our comment section, that seems to be some of the conventional wisdom.
I would say the Elam decision is going to be based on who Georgia's new defensive coordinator is and the relationship that can be built there. So a lot of those comments are kind of static right now because there's not a lot to go there off of. I would say Tyreek Stevenson, Kaihir Elam are the two knowns out there in terms of Georgia will still keep targeting. That will still be on the board until their decisions are made. We mentioned the offensive tackle, the offensive lineman. The John Rice Plumlee situation where it's also up in the air depending on needs and what's available after February the 6th. So there's still some big targets out there for Georgia in the class of 2019. And, you know, the one thing I'm curious about, Brandon, to ask a question back to you.
Please.
Is did the crack staff at Dog Nation World Headquarters, have they figured out a way, do we have the technology to get an isolated camera on your face during the signing day reveals? I would love to see a montage of your thoughts when the Trey Sanders decision was revealed and also the N'Kobe Dean decision was revealed. We need to see that look on your face sometimes. You an even bigger star than you already are.
Yeah, we kind of got – they threw me on the camera for one of these recently. Now, for N'Kobe Dean, I snuck off the desk and went and sat in the control room, and I was watching that in there because I was – I mean, listen – Georgia needed that one. You when Dean's decision went down, Jeff, and you were there, you know, filming it for us. But I mean, I was in the control room and I was leaned forward. My eyes are about 3 inches away from the screen, looking to see what Dean was going to do. So I wasn't on camera when Dean made his because I was sitting as close as I could be to the source to find out what it was. But they caught me on camera for one of those recently. Who was it that I was on camera for? Yes, Clay Webb. Yeah, I got caught on camera for Clay Webb, so I did get caught giving it the fist in the air for a Clay Webb the other day. So I guess I got outed for cheering on camera for that one, my friend.
We need to see that on Before the Hedges, or that needs to be a tweet somewhere, man. You gotta get that Tiger Woods fist pump down or something like that, man. Because you'll have plenty more of those to celebrate in the future.
No doubt about that. Jeff, Merry Christmas to you and your family. We really appreciate you being here today on Dog Nation Daily. Thanks for a really fun wrap-up. I know we took you pretty long there, but it was important for us to hear your expertise on that, and you gave us a lot to chew on here as we head towards the next few days as well, as we go through a little bit of a five-star withdrawal, at least maybe for a little while. So enjoy the Christmas season, Jeff, and we will look forward to checking back with you as we head towards those All-Star games, the Sugar Bowl, and everything else. Once Christmas is done, it doesn't slow down around here, and I'm really glad to have you out there covering it for us. Thanks for being with us.
All right, guys. Have yourself a happy, happy, and a merry, merry, everybody.
No doubt about that.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, really good stuff. Boy, I tell you what. Jeff, get you fired up at Aubrey Solomon now. I want Aubrey Solomon, Georgia. I think that'd be great news for the program. I think that'd be a huge addition. And it certainly, you certainly get the impression from Jeff that he thinks there's a really good chance that might be able to happen. Before you are SEC Through, let me also remind you that it's bowl season. I love that. You know, you got bowls this afternoon. You get the Bahamas Bowl, the Idaho Potato Bowl. All these games, you can get action down. There's a whole bunch of games tomorrow. You can bet against Georgia Tech. Actually, that's not tomorrow. That's the day after Christmas, I think. Yeah, but eventually you can bet against them, and you can just kind of do everything you want there at MyBookie, especially this time of year. You can wager a little. You can make a lot when it comes to the parlay stuff. You just want to get there and get involved in the bowl season with my friends at MyBookie. They're the only online sports book we'd recommend here at Dog Nation. Because, and this is important, they're the home of the fast, no-hassle payout when you win. Because when you do win, you want to get paid. You want to get paid quickly. MyBookie will do that for you. And even better, they'll essentially make you a winner before you even start because your first deposit can be matched up to 50%. But you got to go right now, especially before the action gets going later on this afternoon and then all day tomorrow.
Find my bookie online. It's MYBOOKIE. Find my bookie online and then use the promo code DOGNATION. It's all one word, spelled the way it's supposed to be, DAWG. Use that promo code DOGNATION. Your first deposit can be matched up to 50% with my bookie. After that, you play, you win, you get paid. It's as simple as that. Find my bookie online and use the promo code DOGNATION. All right. My favorite player in college football next season, I'm ready to unveil to you right now. His name is Jamie Pettway, and he's apparently going to play linebacker for Missouri. I didn't know the first thing about Jamie Pettway before yesterday, but I have grown to love Mr. Pettway in the time since then. Pettway continued what has become a long-standing National Signing Day tradition of somebody taking a Tennessee hat and throwing that thing into the wild blue yonder. Quay Walker did that a year ago, obviously famously when it comes to Georgia. Jamie Pettway down at Westover High School in Albany, Georgia, did that on Wednesday. He puts the Tennessee hat on. If you're watching on video, you can obviously see this. He really kind of left it there for a minute, too. And that's the key to a good signing day troll. When you put the hat on, you got to leave it there for a little while. And he left it for a second, took a beat, took it off, tossed it. Now, he didn't throw it quite as far as Quay Walker did, but he still tossed it and put the Missouri hat on. In the immediate aftermath of that, Tennessee fans are, as you might imagine, a bit warm about all of this. So Jamie Pettway goes back to Twitter to twist the knife just a little bit further. He says, "These Tennessee fans big mad. Meet me in Memorial Stadium." That's, I guess, Ferratt Field where Missouri plays. "Meet me in Memorial Stadium next year. Hashtag show me." And then he gives you the 50-17 score. That's how bad Missouri beat Tennessee this past season. He gives you 50-17 and then the shrugging emoji. I don't know what Tennessee did to Jamie Pettway, but he has been dragging them for 2 days online. Listen, more power to you, young man. I don't know that I've ever really been all that into a Tennessee-Missouri game, but I believe next year's Tennessee-Missouri game is going to actually be pretty fun. So congratulations to you on that. I'm actually pretty impressed when it comes to that from Mr. Pettway, who is really, really sticking the knife in Tennessee there. I saw where there's all kinds of reports out there now. I think 24/7 Sports is the one who breaks the story that Jaron Williams, now you'll remember Williams. The backstory here was Williams from Central Gwinnett High School, Lawrenceville, Georgia, Kentucky commit, decommitted from Kentucky. This is a guy that was probably not that highly rated of a prospect at one point in time, but played really well over the course of his senior season, got a lot of attention, including from major programs. Georgia recruited him pretty hard for a while before the Justin Fields stuff happened. Really even, like, I think Alabama kind of even got on that train for a bit as well. Ultimately, though, he ended up with Mark Richt at Miami, and like everybody else, either decommitted from Miami or, you know, was contemplating transferring out of the program. He has been going through practices down there for Miami. I guess they're getting ready to play in some bowl. But he has been going through some stuff down there at Miami. And I guess being around the program, it sounds like, according to 24/7 Sports, Miami has convinced Williams not to leave the program. Had he gone on the open market, that would have been a pretty big deal. There were a lot of teams interested in him, and who knows, maybe he changes his mind again. But as it stands right now, looks like Jaron Williams is not going to transfer from the program. Mississippi State is losing Jeffrey Simmons. Jeffrey Simmons, the elite defensive lineman. I would imagine he'll be a very high NFL draft pick. The Mississippi State defense this year was really good, especially on the defensive line with Sweat and Simmons. Simmons is leaving. He's going on in the NFL draft. So, you'll say farewell to him in the SEC West. Really, this was an interesting year in the SEC West in that virtually, I would say, every SEC West team, with the exception of, probably Arkansas and Ole Miss, they all had good defensive lines. And that's, you know, overall, I don't know that the West was quite as deep as the East, but one area in which the West was really good, everybody had a good defensive line. Ole Miss didn't. Half the time, it looked like they were playing defense with six players. But the rest of the division, for the most part, had really good defensive lines, and Mississippi State was one of the better ones. Jeffrey Simmons, though, is leaving. He'll bring his career there in Starkville to an end. I also saw where, I guess ESPN was doing its list of signing day winners and losers. Some of y'all sent this to me on Twitter. And I guess they call Florida one of the winners. I think it was Tommy Luganville, who was the writer of the piece for ESPN on this. You know,
if this is what winning and recruiting for Florida has become, barely cracking the top 15, maybe even outside the top 15, they're like 15th, 16th, something in the country like that. Folks, the gap between Georgia and the rest of the SEC East right now is pretty spectacular. And we're going to do some more on this, you know, over the course of the next couple of days as well. It's one of the things I've gotten a lot of criticism for over the last couple of years from some of y'all is some of y'all have said I've talked up Auburn too much, that I've been, you know, too quick to praise Auburn, you know, saying too many nice things about Auburn. You don't like that. But the fact of the matter is, you know, there were some things about the Auburn program that I was pretty impressed with as recently as last year. Remember, I picked Auburn to win the SEC West a year ago. I turned out to be right. Now, Alabama wins the national championship. But Auburn was a pretty good program and a pretty solid program in place a year ago. Not only is Florida kind of in a middling situation when it comes to recruiting, I think it's also interesting how Auburn's kind of gravitated down towards that kind of middling era, you know, area here as well. Georgia's obviously fighting a big time battle with Alabama, but don't lose sight of the fact that the gap between Georgia and a lot of its other recruiting rivals, including Florida, who we're discussing, and kind of Auburn here as well, that gap right now is growing in favor of UGA. It's quite a time to watch the talent collection that Georgia's putting together and the advantage it's giving over some of its biggest rivals. All right, y'all. So a quick reminder, no video show for us for the next few days. We're back on video again on Thursday. So Merry Christmas to you. Enjoy some time on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And we'll have a podcast for you. I think we're going to post the podcast, a holiday-style podcast. It's not going to be holiday-themed. We're not going to sing Christmas carols. But we'll have something up for you on Christmas Eve. It'll kind of, you know, tide you over a little bit in podcast one. We'll be back on video at 10 a.m. on Thursday, looking ahead of the Sugar Bowl and kind of getting ready for our trip to New Orleans there for that. So really appreciate that. We'll also have the podcast posted for you as well at theworldfamousdognation.com. Let me also mention this about those lousy, stinking Gators. Love doing the Gator Hater Updater every day here on Dog Nation Daily. I'm very proud today to tell you that it's been 783 days since Florida's beaten Georgia. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty nice Christmas gift for me, and I hope you feel the same way. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next week right here on Dog Nation Daily.